And I wonder, Tim, if perhaps you could reflect on this kind of historiographical trajectory of studying Irish and Northern Irish history, how the historiography of this period has changed, and whether these recent debates about decolonization have in any way influenced the way that we think about this history.
Yes, I mean, I was reflecting on some of Alan's comments there and thinking that EU dimension meant that for a time, intellectually, you were being driven towards the idea of Ireland being seen as European history. So there's sort of an interesting strand there about whether Irish history is seen as a sort of extension of a kind of, you know, GB history, sort of our island nation type history in its worst excesses, whether it's seen, as you've just been discussing, in a sort of imperial history context, or whether it's in the European context. And I think that the historiography has sort of talked to a number of these areas in recent times. So if you looked at Irish history back 1970s, prior to that, there was an idea that this was basically a history of Irish struggle against English oppression. That's a pretty unsophisticated approach, but I think it's still there. And if you look at some of the curriculum guides, and if you look at some of the online comments by pupils who have been taught in Ireland, North and South, and in England, a number think that they're getting a fairly dark green approach to all this. And of course, that can blend very easily into a colonial approach, that if this is done in a sort of unsophisticated manner, you basically say, well, Ireland was England's oldest colony and was very badly oppressed, and that's much the same as India, African colonies, whatever else. The problem with that approach, of course, is that you then sort of sidestep the fact that Irish nationalists are represented in the Westminster Parliament from 1800 onwards, and that in many ways is part of the problem. So that's one aspect. The second is, if you're looking at the sort of colonial environment, I remember talking to a very distinguished American professor about this, who said that, well, really the way to understand the position of Ulster Protestants was to understand the position of the Pied Noir in Algeria. And I said, well, you know, that's an interesting perspective. But think, as the crisis hit in 1912, my family would have been settled in Ulster for about 300 years, whereas for the Pied Noir, most of the sort of 130 years from 1830 onwards. Then, of course, many of the Pied Noir in Algeria had come from Spain and from Italy, so weren't from the sort of your mother nation, whereas Ulster Protestants were very largely from England and Scotland, some Huguenot family, some German Protestant groups and so on. But generally, that was the way of it there. So you sort of have this rather complicated approach when you get into the comparative history, where Irish nationalists can make their voices heard in the British political system in a much more straightforward manner than the Indian nationalists can, or any of the African nationalist groups could. And what I was saying about things like Amritsar is a particularly interesting example. If you look at the sort of British experience of counterinsurgency, British forces could get away with things in India and the Northwest frontier and Iraq in the 1920s that they couldn't do in Ireland, because you had a sort of sophisticated local media, you had interest by Irish American groups, you had interest by the Labour Party and others in Britain. So there were sort of constraints there. So if you put this into a sort of imperial context, there is a slight problem there, that it can make things look a little too straightforward. And the problem is, I hope I've illustrated with that line about Algeria, is that often if you get into these comparative histories, what you're often doing is highlighting how different certain experiences are rather than how common they are. I suppose linked to that, the points that Alan was making are interesting ones, because there is then the question that you reach, which is whether one of the great challenges of teaching history in Ireland, particularly Northern Ireland compared to England, is that you're being expected to teach an academic discipline to a reasonably high level, while also essentially trying to incorporate a pretty complicated civics class. And that's not something that other teachers are being asked to do. If you're teaching literature, you're not being asked to sort of do this extra exercise on top of it, let alone if you're doing sciences. So I think that means that an awful lot of pressure is put on teachers in Northern Ireland, which is very different from the experience of teaching it elsewhere, and means that the school history is in a way politicised, in a way that the university history and academic history has been depoliticised, if that makes sense.